Hello, sunshine. Happy Friday, Yay. Almost time to unwind and relax the mind before we creep into the weekend. We'll go one more time. Seeking knowledge, information with a bit of inspiration and without hesitation offer you the next generation. Rise up. We start today by talking about how video games may be affecting us in a way we might not realize. Gaming is hugely popular around the world, with fully committed gamers playing sometimes for hours each day. Here's the thing. They usually play with the volume cranked up, and according to a new study published this week, this poses serious risks for hearing loss. Here's how our ears work. The inner ear, or the spiral-looking thingy known as the cochlea, contains thousands of sensory hairs. Loud sounds can damage these hair cells in a way that can cause temporary, even permanent, hearing loss. The damage is determined by how loud the noise is and how long the ear is exposed to it. So, a moderately loud noise occurring nearby only once would allow the ear to potentially recover. But if that exposure happens repeatedly over a period of time, that can lead to permanent loss. So, back to video games. This new research reviewed 14 studies that included a total of 54,000 adults and children worldwide. They found that the average participant in the study gained at sound levels that often nearly surpassed or outright exceeded what is considered a permissible level. They also found that participants in the study who gamed regularly were more likely to experience something called tinnitus, a hearing issue that presents as a ringing sound in the ear. So, here's the question. How can someone game safely? Well, based off this report, we should try to monitor sound levels. There are actually apps that can help you with this. But one general tip comes from a doctor to whom CNN spoke. The doc recommended going no higher than 60% of the maximum volume. But pay attention to your hearing, whether you're a gamer or not. If you notice any changes, especially that ringing sound in your ear, set up some time to speak with a doctor who can assess what might be going on. Next, you may remember we talked about an incident on a Boeing plane where a door plug blew off mid-flight January 5th. The Alaska Airlines plane was left with a gaping hole the size of a refrigerator with passengers inside while flying at 16,000 feet in the sky. As a result of the incident, the Federal Aviation Administration grounded hundreds of 737 MAX 9 planes. But now it looks like those planes may soon be cleared to return to the sky. Here's our Pete Muntean with more.
The latest is the FAA has done its part. It's ended the 19-day-long emergency grounding of the MAX 9. It reviewed the data from Boeing, airlines, and about a quarter of the fleet that's out there in the U.S. So the MAX 9 can fly again, but not before airlines do a final check of each plane. Here is what the FAA is calling for. A detailed visual inspection of the door plug. That is the part that violently shot off Alaska 1282 3 weeks ago. The FAA also wants checks of the bolts and guides that hold the door plug on the plane and any abnormal conditions to be corrected. Remember, both airlines that operate these planes found loose door plug bolts. Alaska Airlines has 65 MAX 9s. They say inspections will take about 12 hours of labor, meaning the first few MAX 9s at Alaska Airlines will be flying as soon as Friday. United Airlines has 79 MAX 9s. United says its planes will be flying by Sunday. Airlines cannot wait to end this chapter after being forced to cancel flights by the thousands. Even still, the question a lot of people have is, are these planes truly safe? Important to note, the NTSB has not finished its investigation. And this week, I asked that question to FAA Administrator Mike Whitaker. Should the flying public feel safe being on a MAX 9 when it is ultimately ungrounded?
If the aircraft is ungrounded, that means that we believe it's airworthy. And if it's airworthy, the aircraft is safe. I can say that we're not going to let that aircraft back in the air until we're convinced that that issue has been taken care of.
Pop quiz, hot shot. What was the first supersonic passenger-carrying commercial airplane called? Hurricane, Concorde, Nighthawk, or Skycrane? If you pilots said the Concorde, congrats! You've passed with flying colors. From its first flight in 1969 until its last in 2003, the Concorde supersonic plane shuttled passengers at speeds far faster than traditional airlines. Next, we're looking at how NASA is aiming to take commercial travel to supersonic speeds. NASA has been testing the limits of flying both in space and here on Earth for decades. In 1947, X-1 became the first manned aircraft to break the sound barrier. In 1967, X-15 broke the record for fastest manned flight ever, and that record, 6.7 times the speed of sound, still stands to this day. Now NASA has created a new aircraft called X-59, intended to become the future of supersonic commercial air travel. But they've had to spend decades researching ways to fix issues with supersonic travel, like a little thing called Sonic Boom.
Sonic Boom!
No, not the special attack by Guile from Street Fighter. This Sonic Boom. An enormous amount of sound energy created when an aircraft breaks the sound barrier, which is about 750 miles per hour. The boom registers at about 110 decibels, about as loud as a thunderclap and loud enough to crack windows on a house. But even though NASA says the X-59 will cruise at about 925 miles per hour, it is designed to produce more of a thump than a boom, spreading out the sound rather than bringing it together. Besides the loud sound, like all air travel, another concern is the impact on the climate. NASA has a program looking at sustainable fuels for supersonic flight because that's going to be another requirement to truly make it a viable option in the future. For today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, a conspiracy theory swirling around online ahead of the NFL Conference Championships this weekend. Just four teams remain and the winners go to the Super Bowl. But are the two teams that will eventually face off in Las Vegas predetermined? And is there a clue in the Super Bowl logo? Follow me down the rabbit hole as we investigate this theory that there's more than meets the eye to the colors of the Super Bowl logo. All right, something's started the season. The NFL launched an ad joking that the games were scripted, but many online, they think it's true. For the last two seasons, the Super Bowl logos matched the color schemes of the two teams playing in it, but the league tells us they designed these logos up to 2 years in advance. In 2022, the Super Bowl 50 in red, leaving only one possible outcome for this weekend's conference championships. Time will tell if the Ravens... Thanks to producer Will Edmonds. Clearly, we had some fun with that. You know we are committed to telling you the what, letting you decide what to think. Thanks to my CNN 10 producers this week, Jeremy Dunn, Victoria Fleischer, Nader Nikupur, Kat Jennings, Sovi Asath, and Matthew Abshire. We thank all of you. Today, we're giving a shout out to the Clippers at Patterson High School in Baltimore, Maryland. Rise up. Good luck to your Ravens. Have an awesome weekend, superstar. Remember that you are going to be the light that someone needs someday. You are more powerful than you know. I'm Coy Wire. It's been a blessing to spend this week with you.